Welcome to Don't Be Caged by Your Age, a podcast devoted to dissolving ageist beliefs and fears and providing pathways for you to repurpose, reimagine, and reinvent your decades of lived experiences. I'm your host, Andy Lyons, celebrating my 67th year of living, and I know you'll find the resources, ideas, and inspiration you need to thrive after 65. Listeners, get ready to take notes, because our guest, Carrie Hannon, is a leading authority and strategist on retirement, career transitions, and entrepreneurship. And wow, she has all the action steps you need to successfully transition into the right and best gig for you at your stage and age of unretirement life. Stay tuned for another delicious and actionable conversation. Welcome to Don't Be Caged by Your Age, Carrie. I'm so happy you're here to share your insights, stories, and advice with our listeners.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for the invitation. So much fun.
Oh, it is. And what is your age and where are you from, Carrie?
I am 63 years old and I live in Washington, D.C.
Woo, beautiful part of the world. And folks, we're recording March 21st and you know D.C. is looking gorgeous right now with everything blooming, right, Carrie?
Oh, it is just a party in a yard. It is absolutely beautiful here.
So, Carrie, you have been impacting the world in so many positive ways for decades. You're a best-selling author, national keynote speaker, workplace futurist, and a tireless advocate for helping women manage their wealth and build confidence for financial security. In fact, you're a senior columnist for Yahoo Finance, and you testified before the Senate Special Committee on Aging at its hearing, Work in Retirement, Career Reinventions, and the New Retirement Workspace. Listeners, you can tell I am jazzed up. We are going to learn so much from Carrie about how to dissolve those internalized ageist beliefs and have an amazing, amazing work and life experience. But before we get started and mine all the gems from your expertise on the unretirement years, can you share a few fun or surprising or wild stories from your career and life just to give us a flavor of where you've been and who you are and how it led you to where you are today?
Well, that's a good one. There's so many. When we navigate these amazing journeys that we call our careers, there's so many twists and turns, and it's just exciting. I mean, I love the fact that throughout my career, I've always just been open to invitations, open to trying new ways of doing things. And just one story I would highlight for you that kind of illustrates a real turning point for me was I was working at USA Today, and I was a columnist for them covering taxes and retirement. And I was miserable. I mean, it just wasn't a good fit for me. And I liked what I was writing, but it took me years to realize that I didn't like working in a newsroom where there were a lot of people. And I think I'll put it down to issues with anxiety. But at the time, I just thought I didn't like the job. But in reality, it was me, not the job. But just about that time where I asked my dad, he said, how are you doing? And I said, you know, I'm really not doing great. I'm really unhappy. And he said, well, quit. And I said, well, really? And so when your father, here I was 40 something years old at that point, and I had to ask my dad permission to quit. But I went back. I'd been visiting with mom and dad down in Siesta Key, Florida, and I went back to DC and I quit. Just at that time, one of my very best friends from childhood, it was super photographer, and she was doing a coffee table book about Navajo weaving. And she said, oh, Carrie, the writer for this book just wigged out, and I told them you could do it. And I said, well, really? Okay. So she and I got on an airplane, and we hung out at the reservation at the Four Corners, where Colorado and Utah and Arizona and all come together. Yeah. I wrote profiles of these weavers because it's their craft and their job, and they're no longer passing it down to the younger generation in the same way because the younger generation was moving off the reservation. So here's the quick story. The woman just changed the way I looked at the world. There was a woman named Mary who was early 80s who I went to her Hogan, which was about 45 minutes down a dirt road. No running water, no electricity. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, in America. And she raised her family there. And I'm telling you, her loom took up almost the entire thing. But the thing about Mary is she was pure joy. And I had to interview her through a translator and because she only spoke Navajo. And she said, you ask questions nobody thinks about. And I realized I took all my East Coast sensibilities, stripped those out. I looked around me and where Mary lived was just stunningly beautiful. It was so amazingly beautiful. And Mary's work was monumental, absolutely blew your mind. And I saw the pure joy in her and I realized that's what it's all about. What we do is what brings us joy. And everyone brings their own definition to it. But when I left that reservation and left Mary, I never forgot her magic. And I've carried that forward in the stories I tell about people and their work and how they pivot to new things and why they find purpose and meaning in the work they do. And it's nothing to do with some of the accoutrements that we all think are important.
That's right. It's the promise of the joy, too, that you're talking about, because it can be very scary to leave the devil you know, so to speak, right? And the fears of going into someplace new. Thank you for sharing Mary's glow. I mean, you're sharing her story each time keeps her alive, keeps her remarkable art alive, at the same time reminding us of the work we all need to keep remembering to do for our reservations. Also, can I just say, Dad? I mean, when you think about your father coming from the generation of the Depression, of World War II, where having a job to protect and help your family was paramount, you would never tell your child to quit. How wonderful was he to give you permission to quit?
My dad was the best. And he always said, you know, maybe it's an oft-told thing these days, but to me as a young woman, he was always like, you got a dream to get there. And he always reminded me to just hold on to my dreams and go for it. And he never, ever told me that that wasn't a possibility.
So anybody listening, tell your children, grandchildren, keep dreaming. That is such an important thing, especially for reinventing this time of our lives. As a multi-published author and seasoned national speaker, Carrie, when did you begin speaking about ageism and the future of retirement? Because I can see you took this passion, joy, and your ability to ask great questions and probably repackaged it and repurposed it into your work going forward. But when did this talking about what work in the future looks like started bubbling up for you?
Yeah, a number of years ago, I wrote a book called What's Next? Follow Your Passion and Find Your Dream Job. And that book came out of a series of columns I wrote for U.S. News and World Report. It's a magazine at that point, a print magazine that I worked on in-house. I was there for 5 years. And when I left, and then after USA Today, when I started my own business in my early 40s, I kept them as a client. And for 3.5 years, I traveled around the United States profiling people, mostly baby boomers, but a little bit of an age swing there, but people who had done something for 20 or 30 years and shifted to do something completely different. And this was the first time I really got an education in the kinds of things that people were doing to pivot, to repurpose, to their talents into an area that really motivated them and gave meaning to their lives. It was incredible. I mean, I got to say, Indy, I didn't necessarily want to do all the things they did, but I was so inspired by the confidence, the moxie, the vision that these individuals had that I took all these profiles and I massaged them and worked them into a book, What's Next? And so when that book launched, I really talked to so many experts and career experts and became one myself looking at what does it take to make these kind of transitions? What's behind the transition? What do we need to do to prepare to do this? And I could see the growing age span. And I also saw very clearly then that many people weren't going to be prepared financially for retirement, particularly baby boomers, that with living longer lives, there just weren't enough savings and people were going to need to continue to work, but trying to find ways to make it work for them as well. So I must say that was about when it all kicked off. It maybe was about, oh, close to 20 years ago now, probably, when that all kicked off. And I haven't stopped. I mean, pedal to the metal. Since AARP got excited about that book, they hired me to be their work and jobs expert and write columns for them about great jobs for people over 50. I turned that into a book. And, so on we go. So that's kind of been my sweet spot.
Oh my gosh. And folks, be sure to visit Carrie's website. It's very easy. Carrie Hannon, H-A-N-N-O-N, and that's Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y, CarrieHannon.com. She has all her books, all her columns, how to listen to her, watch her, everything. It's pure deliciousness. And it really addresses, I think, the biggest challenge, Carrie, is finding that bridge. So you can talk about, wow, I've got these decades of lived experience. How do I repurpose them? How can I start doing something that I love? I mean, one of my favorite stories was a guy who had been in insurance for decades. He left, retired, started gardening, and then he started really noticing all the bees. He's like, wow, I really like bees and pollinators. So he got some hives and he's like, what am I going to do with all this honey? And then he had a honey business. So that was kind of random flowing. But other people really need a bridge. They need something to help them start on that pathway to get to a place where they can dissolve those fears, those internalized beliefs and limitations and blocks we put on ourselves. I'm too old. I'm not talented. I can't be doing that. You know, I can't understand technology. I'm of the certain age that it doesn't make sense to me. What did you see as a common thread with folks that gave them that ability to cross that bridge, to find the pathway and take that step-by-step-by-step process?
Yeah, that's the fundamental question, isn't it? And I must say, I have to add before I start, I love the word delicious. I'm so glad you used that. Here's the thing. I did. The people that over this course of my time interviewed thousands, I think, at this point. And truthfully, the types of pivots they made are different. Their time frames were different, their success rate. But I always, when I write about people, I tend to focus on those who succeed because I think we learn from success. And there were clearly a spine of things that each person did. And the first thing is no rash moves. I mean, they didn't just jump into something, right? They really took their time and they did what I call an inner MRI. They did the, what is it that I want to do right now? What are my skills that I have? Which skills do I actually like using, you know, and kind of going through, just kind of pulling the layers back and taking that look at themselves. Sometimes they worked with a career coach to help them see some of the things inside them that they took for granted that they could highlight, but they really went slow. The second thing they did is they reached out and did the research. They identified areas that they might move into that had always something maybe they wanted to do since they were a child, or something that had come out of a hobby, or something that just frankly just caught their curiosity and they wanted to do more. But they did, the second step was they did their homework. They did the research in the industry. They found out, why me, why now, why this? They asked those three big questions to themselves and they thought about, okay, what do I need to know about this field? Who do I know in this field that I can talk to about how they got started and where they see the opportunities are? And then they did the very important pieces. They added any additional skills they needed to make that transition. They, whether it's a certificate, whatever it might be, they did that. And in today's world with virtual learning, this is not a hard thing to do. The next thing they did is if they could, they did moonlighting or apprentice or job shadowing. They actually got their hands in the dirt and said, okay, is this something that's as dreamy as I think it's going to be? And sometimes it wasn't. I know a woman who stepped away from being a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., a high powered, she was a corporate attorney, took early retirement. Fabulous landscape gardener, said, hey, you know, I'm going to start a landscape gardening business. Everyone wanted to work with her because all her friends anyway, because we knew how fabulous it was. But in fact, when she got into the garden, she was miserable because it was so lonely. And she really truthfully was a people person and got the adrenaline of being with others is what she thrived on. But the garden was her respite. So she quickly discovered that. So that's an example of you got to do it first and really understand what it is. And then they took baby steps. They didn't jump all in 100%. They started slowly, whether it was a business where they were, you know, a mother and daughter team I profiled in Cleveland, Ohio, who started a cookie business, one hot cookie. Well, they started slowly. They tested it with friends and family, just little stores in their area. Now today they have their own standalone brick and mortar stores, and they also have a thriving online business, but they did it in baby steps. So those are important steps to make. And I'm just going to say the final and perhaps the most important piece is they got financially fit before, right? If you are not financially fit, and it's part of Carrie's fitness program, my three-part fitness program, which is financial fitness, physical fitness, and spiritual fitness. But the financial piece is absolutely key, because if you can take time to, ahead of the game, or as you're slowly starting to pay down those debts, to really get lean and mean and find ways to trim your costs. Maybe it's moving to an area with where the cost of living is less, or simply downsizing. It is imperative that when you are free of those obligations, the big debt obligations, you're nimble, you have opportunity, you can try things out. They always say that the phrase debt is a dream killer is absolutely the truth. And when I talk to most people who made pivots, money was the big stumbling block. They needed a certain salary. So in order to pivot, you need to know what's your number. How much do you need financially from this move? And that will limit you, but it you know, will give you some guardrails of what you can and cannot do. The final piece on this, I would say, Andy, is you absolutely have to look at this next stage of your life as it's a patchwork quilt. It is absolutely not the linear career that you had previously. And you may do something for 3 years, 5 years. You may do a couple things at the same things. You may shift around. This is a uncharted territory. Nobody has ever given us a playbook, except maybe I have, because I've written this book a while back. But frankly, it's everyone is going to be a different path. But you need to give yourself that permission to try new things, to experiment, to say yes, and realize nothing is forever. And so I think we get caught in, oh, I'm going to make this move, and then here I am. No, you're not. When I went back to that What's Next book to redo it in a paperback about 3 years later, or 3 or 4 years later, a third of the people had moved on to doing other things. This is what happens in life. We shift, we move. So don't get locked in.
Oh my gosh, listeners, did you get all that? You're going to have to hear that 3 or 4 times, right? To absorb all of it. There's so many takeaways there. And I think it's so important to understand that you've been indoctrinated sometimes to think that you need to stay as a member of that country club, or you need to be in that big house still because it's part of your persona in the world. Stir that up, throw that up in the air. And I think Carrie's advice for getting financially fit is so important. You heard on episode 3 where Mary Bartnikowski, she there in Silicon Valley, she had been traveling. She's like, what do I need this house for? What do I need that furniture and bed? She sold everything and now is a nomad after the age of 65 and reliving her life in different ways. But the other thing too, Carrie, that I love what you said is explore, take the time, take it seriously to explore. If you can afford a career coach, great. But if you need to borrow some cement for your backbone, right? Do that. Reach out to friends, get what you need from them to help you start reinventing, repurposing, because you could be living another 30 years and you want to make them magical and meaningful to you. Your happiness is important to everybody that you know. So I love all of these great ideas. And listeners, we want to hear what your thoughts are on Carrie's incredible advice and information that she's sharing with us today. Be sure to hop on to Don't Be Caged by Your Age LinkedIn or Instagram feeds, because we're here to support each other as we figure out how to thrive after 65. Now, Carrie, you've got this great book, In Control at 50 Plus, How to Succeed in the New World. I got to tell you, this is a game changer. And this is probably the advice and all the action steps folks need to do what you just talked about. Because folks I know that I've been talking to are over 60 are so apprehensive about searching for a new job and staying positive about their future in the workplace. Talk a little bit about your book, In Control of 50 Plus, why you wrote it, and how you're helping folks take those action steps and figure things out.
Sure. Two things I wanted to add to what you said is, you know, it's super important. And this is, you know, just riffing off of what you said there, is that you must surround yourself with positive people. I mean, they don't need to own your dream. That's your thing. But you need people who are there that have your, as you said, have your back. They really support you. They encourage you. They keep you accountable to what you want to do. And it may not always be friends and family. It may be, if you're making a transition, finding a group of people who are doing a similar thing, and you all help each other with your transitions and you give each other ideas and connections, networking, so forth. I think this is, the human connection is super powerful in helping us move to the next level of what we want to do. The second thing that's important in my mind, and you use the word reinvent, I honestly don't like that word that much, because I think what we're doing is we're redeploying. I think we're pretty cool as we are, and we're just taking the things that we have learned and honed and skills that we've really mastered in our life and our career to date, and just shifting them in a new direction, and then dolloping on a couple of new things, and then some more new things, and continuing to learn, because learning new things is the key to healthy aging. It is the key to being successful in our work lives as well, because when you start learning anything new, I mean, trust me, it could just be learning how to throw pottery, but just learning something new, everything changes. You look at the world differently. You're a beginner and then you're an expert. You have to go through that whole thing of, just like when you're starting in a new direction with your work, you're a beginner and then you're becoming skilled at it. So it's the rhythm of building resilience that comes from learning new things. So you've got to be open to, hey, this is really neat. Yeah, I'm a little scared about trying this new thing, but I'm going to learn something new and I'm going to see where it takes me. And I'm going to ask questions. I'm not going to be afraid to ask people for help as I make this adjustment, because a lot of us are afraid to say, we don't know. Well, you know what? You don't know. We love to help each other. So quickly, I'm just going to say about this book, In Control, what I love about it is I just identified the major trends that emerged from the pandemic that impacted workers over 50 and how it changes the way the possibilities we have in a positive way. And they are that remote work just skyrocketed. It's here to stay. It always been around, but my goodness, the genie's out of the bottle now. Great, great, great for older workers. I hate that term, but you know what I mean? Because you don't have the commute. It helps with ageism, because books are still judged by the cover, right? So if you don't have to be face to face next to somebody who's 20 something in the workplace, it helps. It really does. Subliminal, it helps. Judged on your performance. So remote work, contract work exploded. This is great for people who want to phase into retirement, for people who want to try out some new things. There's so many opportunities now to be a contract worker. It's great for businesses, of course, because they're not paying all your benefits, but it is great for you as well. If you don't need all of those things, or if you're disciplined enough to continue saving for retirement on your own. The third thing is midlife entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship at all ages took off after the pandemic, because everyone had that chance to look inside. We were all pretty scared and we're like, what is life all about? Is this really what I want? And many people at all ages did this soul searching and said, yeah, you know what? I think I'd like to find new meaning in my life. And for older entrepreneurs, this became a real green light to get started. So entrepreneurship took off and virtual learning really exploded as well, which we mentioned earlier. This opens the door to continuing to learn, and it gives us the ability, without having to get a master's degree and all those things, to make changes in our working lives, in our personal lives.
And what are some of the stats around entrepreneurship? Because I, having been in the startup ecosystem for 8 years and a 4 times founder, I always said, yeah, it's great to be a 30 under 30 on Forbes, because what have you got to lose? But when you're in your 60s and you're launching a business, there's so much that you could lose if it doesn't work out. What are some of the stats? What are some of the apprehensions? And what are some of the learnings that we're getting as folks take that risk and say, okay, this is something I've always wanted to do. I'm going to try it.
Right. Well, there's a big study that came out of MIT that showed that older entrepreneurs, and I went in their study, it was over 45, are more successful than younger ones over the long haul. And I think this is absolutely true for many reasons, because we bring business acumen, we bring management ability, we bring financial resources often to something as that we're starting. We have a network we've developed, particularly if we're staying within our own industry, yeah, but going in a slightly new direction, we have a network there. So there's some things that sort of lay a very good groundwork. Another reason why I think it's easier, certainly, to start a business without today is you don't need the bricks and mortar. I mean, the virtual office is a reality. It's smooth. It's easy to do. You don't have to have staff. You can simply we talked about the contract work. Well, yeah, you can hire somebody contract and they can work for you virtually. They can helicopter in twice a month to do your bookkeeping, to do your social media marketing, so you can have all these great, the best experts helping you and talent helping you, but it's just on a project basis or an ongoing contract. It doesn't have to be a big infrastructure issue for you. So it allows you to grow slowly, to make adjustments when you need to. And I think those are really important. I think that's critical. Yeah.
And listeners, you always win when you launch a business, no matter what happens, because you're going to tap into parts of yourself that you never knew you had. And those are all transferable skills to whatever it is what you're going to do next. And I think a recurring theme that Carrie's bringing to the conversation today is this whole pulling on threads, finding out what you don't want. Like the woman who said, oh, I'm going to do a landscaper business and got into it and went, oh, hell no, this isn't for me. That's okay. Because as you find what you don't want, you're going to get refine what you do want to do and what those skills are that you can have. You also in your book, Carrie, talk about something I think is so important, which is the resume, how to create that online presence. Because if you've been at a gig for even 10 years, trying to pull all of that information together, make yourself feel and look compelling when you're really feeling like, oh, they're just going to tell me you should just retire. Why aren't you playing in the garden or playing with your grandkids? You talk about that in the book, In Control at 50 Plus, which, by the way, listeners, do you not love that name, In Control? But talk a little bit about the resume, because that can be pretty scary for folks who haven't had to create a resume in a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not hard. I think your resume is important. It's your calling card. You definitely need to package your experience into a tight, just in basic logistics. It's going to be about 2 pages. You're going to just go back about 15 years. Nobody cares what you did 30 years ago. You can put all that into a nice additional previous experience, additional experience section, very, very nicely put together. And whatever, if it's a job you're applying for online, you want to make sure each of those is tailored for the specific words in the job posting that you're looking for. And the experience you highlight is specifically for the job you're applying for. So no generic resumes. They have to really be custom for each opportunity in front of you. But I'm going to step away from resumes for a second. And there are lots of great guidelines. AARP has a great resume helper. Other places you can get coaches that will help you with that. I personally hadn't done a resume in so many years. And a recruiter found me, and this is my next tip. You have to be on LinkedIn. A recruiter found me on LinkedIn 2 years ago and said, there's this opportunity at Yahoo Finance. Are you interested? I'm like, no, I've been running my own business for 20 years. I'm perfectly fine. I'm writing books. I'm doing what I want. But we kept talking, and that for the sheer purposes of continuing that conversation, they needed a resume to put through there because it was a publicly posted position, needed to follow the rules. And so somebody who writes about it all the time and knows how to do it, I called up my niece who's like 30, and I said, send me your resume, okay, Caitlin? I just want to take a look at it. So I looked at her resume and I modeled mine off of that, but that's just an aside.
I know. And it's so easy to hop on Canva, everybody. They have like so many beautiful templates ready to go. You just pop in your information. You look like $1 million.
It's that intergenerational thing that helped me. But please be on LinkedIn, because that is really how you find the world. That's how you find your network. If you're looking for in a new field and you're looking for to start something new, you will find the people you know who you can connect with, who know people who can help you with informational and discussions. And you can write who you are in your own voice. I love it because you can easily change it all the time. You can put up YouTube videos you did, PowerPoint presentations. You can really market yourself, show where you volunteer, that you love animals. All of these things help people relate to you. And if anyone's looking to hire you, if you've started your own business or, you know, as a contractor, as something like that, or hire you full time, they are going to do that. They're going to do that online search about who you are. And you've got to have a really great spiffed up LinkedIn profile.
Absolutely. And yeah. LinkedIn's platform is so powerful, folks. You know that when you pop in your name into the search, into an incognito tab search, it's going to come up probably number one or two on the search. As we wrap things up, Carrie, how would you like to see society and corporations view folks over 60?
Yeah, I think they need to view them as an amazing resource. I love the intergenerational connections we're seeing, that employers are starting to pay more attention to bringing these intergenerational teams together to create, to impact. These, to me, at Yahoo Finance, my manager is 2 decades younger than me, and I have never been happier in my life because she's totally changed my lens on how I see topics and subjects I've written about for years. She comes to it with a new perspective that has energized my work in a way I never imagined it. And I want employers and employees to recognize the benefit of the energy that comes from sharing our experience. By sheer demographics, employers have got to pay attention to this older demographic because there are just not as many young people coming up through the population with an aging population globally. So in order to keep the trains running on time, they're going to need to keep us on the job.
Oh my gosh, Carrie, you have provided so much valuable insights and advice for all of us. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. Listeners, I'm going to have all the links for Carrie so you can follow her everywhere she goes. You can also buy all her books and learn how you can keep from being caged by your age from all the deliciousness that Carrie shared with us today. Carrie, thank you so much. It's been such a treat to spend time with you and learn from you.
Loved it. Thank you so much for the invitation. It was really great fun.
And listeners, remember, you have so much to give. Don't let those internalized ageist beliefs and society's beliefs prevent you from pursuing new dreams and opportunities, no matter what age you're at. Until next time, I'm wishing you a delicious day everywhere you glow. Cheers from Boston. Mwah. Listeners, I'm so grateful you carved out time to tune in and grab the gems from this delicious conversation. Be sure to hop on over to Don't Be Caged by Your Age on LinkedIn or Instagram to share your thoughts about ageism and unretirement. Because in this space, your age doesn't define you, it refines you. If you are inspired by a story you hear, it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe, share, rate, and review the podcast. To receive an alert whenever a new show is posted, please join the Don't Be Caged by Your Age newsletter. Every month, you'll receive links to the podcast and helpful resources for creating possibilities for your unretirement days. Thank you for tuning in. I am so excited to hear how you found ways to thrive after 65. Waving from Boston, cheers.